he's proposed working with the township after the July 1st deadline to ensure that council's getting a well-rounded report with a detailed asset management plan and noting projects that council would like to see completed within the next 5 years.
Okay. Yep. Thanks.
I'm noticing that I think it's on today's agenda for Whitestone as well. They're going through the, they've got the asset management report. So we're not the last ones to get one. We'll just see how detailed it is when we get it. But. Councilor Pecker?
So transfer station, one operational change residents saw this year was this, the disposal of leaves. So hence these bins have been disposed of as household garbage at the McDougal landfill and charged accordingly. So what's the plan going forward? We had discussed several times at council meetings regarding contacting the MOE about getting a certificate of approval for brush and leaves on the Lee's property that the township owns on Lee's, on Lee's Road, and just an update on how those discussions are going.
I did contact the MOE with regards to what the requirements were for having the brush and stump dump, and I don't think the current facility, being the transfer station, has the adequate amount of space. We are still working with the MOE on that.
So the township owns, I think it's 25 acres on Lee's Road, and that's the property that we were asking to be inquired about, establishing a new certificate of approval to allow for a brush and leaves dump site.
It's still being permitted in other townships, so it's not as if it should be outlawed. I know we are a transfer station on that particular site, and it shouldn't interfere. Any inquiry, I guess, into MOE shouldn't interfere with what we have already. That's always a worry I have, that as soon as you ask for another site right next door, and it's going to be a permanent site for brush and leaves, then they may review your transfer station. And years back, our first alternative that they gave us when they closed the landfill, ship it to Michigan. That's where we were going to send our garbage until the waste management study was done, and McDougal ended up getting approval. And then they came back to us as well and looked at transfer station. Whitestone's going to go through it the next couple of years. They still have landfill sites, but I don't know for how long. And so we can certainly ask MOE, I guess, whether it's possible to the site next door, but I wouldn't hold out too many hopes when they seem to be going to transfer stations rather than landfill. Councilor Zulan?
So is our transfer station, there's a footprint, right, for the
right.
transfer station?
We had to get that expanded to originally. It wasn't as large as it is.
So it doesn't go over onto the property, that other extra property,
no.
The 25 acres?
No. No, it's a separate lot that was purchased.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was purchased for that reason, to expand the landfill site at the time.
Yeah.
So it is sitting vacant, and there is a potential there. I'm not sure what the policy would be on something like that.
Well, I'm sure the asset management plan will tell us what to do.
Well, I'm sure, yes. It's very detailed.
I think we should be applying to make more use of that 25 acres. Would be, you know, using some poor site that somewhere down the road, whether it be decades.
Right?
A park? Well, we can make it a park. As a start, this kind of thing. Yeah, I'm curious, the leaves, they were being dumped into a bin. What bin, and where did this bin go?
Good question. I guess it was Public Works that decided this.
It was a bin that normally has waste in that goes to McDougal landfill, so it was a clean bin and was on the side, and then people were asked to unbag their leaves and dump the leaves into an open bin, as previously Public Works staff were opening it and finding much more than leaves in the bags.
Yeah.
So it was becoming a health and safety issue. The one bin successfully made it to McDougal landfill with no household garbage in it, so that was taken and it will be used as cover at the McDougal landfill. Unfortunately, the other bins that had gone to the landfill had household garbage contained within the leaves, and we had to dispose that at the garbage household garbage rate.
So we just pay for shipping then, basically, to McDougal?
Correct, chucking it.
Right. because I'm thinking, if could people just dump their bags into the compressors and it'd be compacted and shipped away that way? Like, is that enough? Could that be done too?
It could be, but it would be at a great cost.
I don't think it's pretty light stuff, and it would compact right down. I was just wondering whether that's a bit more economical option than dealing with shipping of another whole bin, but I just know the process. I just was wondering if somebody, you know, if it could be done.
Another concern is a lot of the leaves, maybe not from the township, contractors bring them up from different areas when they're visiting their cottage, because it isn't a great expense to get rid of your leaves in some areas, so that's something council may want to review as well.
Christie Landfill has a big area from my memory. My brother lives in Seguin, so he takes his stuff there, and by and large now I do it, but I can picture where it is, and it's not really well defined, but yeah, they'll take that and brush as well. In the same spot, I mean, it may be worth asking them if we could go there. I'm sure we'd have to pay, but if it's cheaper than McDougal, maybe it's worth it, right? And I don't know that it would, for all I know, it could be double the price, but
no,
I was like, I can at first.
Okay.
So in regards to that, we would have to get they would have to get a change to their certificate of approval to accept the resident stuff from McKellar. So McDougal is taking at no charge bins of clean leaves, but if the bins have any garbage in there, any extra stuff, then we're being charged. What about brush? Where's the brush going? Or it's not going anywhere? Or
it's being disposed of.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the problems we have with this whole program, with a number of things we looked at, tires is still a concern because they've been picked up once, part of the load was anyway, and they've never come back. The services we're providing out of a transfer station are actually above and beyond, I would say, what should be provided at a transfer station. Collecting a brush, where do we transfer it to? We have one site in the township. So we're actually spending more money. The residents are having to foot the bill to have it transferred somewhere. And who's going to take it? The same with the leaves. Is that a service we should keep providing, considering that you talked about the cost of return here, or what kind of return on investment, and whether we should be continuing that program? I don't like that we took construction materials away from the public, because we couldn't deal with them, and then they had to go to McDougal. We're getting to the point where our transfer station and the council probably is offering more than what our station should be offering. And we have to decide if we want to continue those services, then yes, we have to find other sources and foot the bill. Because if we can't take care, we're already spending it. It's quite a large expense to keep that transfer station operating with the regular garbage leaving, let alone now having to deal with brush and leaves and the tires. And it becomes a safety concern at some point. So that's another conversation we'll have to have. How long do we continue with all the services we're providing? I know people are expecting it, but they've been able to adapt to the no construction. Although an odd time you'll see something slip in there, but generally they've adapted. Councillor Cuckin.
So tires, there is no charge on that. That's covered under Circular Materials Ontario.
RPRA.
So there's no charge on tires.
No, but it's just that they're piling up and nobody will take them. So that's a concern.
Yeah, but we've managed to have at least two hauls of tires, and it does, the amount of time in the legislation allows for 1 year from the time that the RPRO is contacted to remove the tires. So everything is falling within the timelines and guidelines at this point in time.
Well, only because we pushed those tires that piled up for longer than a year, and then we had a company come in supposedly to take them all, and they didn't. They took one load, and I haven't seen them since.
Mm-hmm.
So, Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, the issue about people putting more of the leaves in bags and then bringing them and having to empty their bags so we can check that there isn't stuff that shouldn't be there is also very similar to the issue with recycling. With people bringing bags in there. I had a chat last week when I was at the transfer station with
Brandy.
Brandy, yes, about this, and it's still a huge problem that you can just go and stand there and look at the full bags that are in there because people refuse to empty the bags. Well, if they can, you know, if they have to do it for leaves and brush or leaves at least, then I think we're going to have to get more hard-nosed on this because it's costing us money, right, for the recycling. But anyhow, it's interesting. I hadn't ever thought of the issue of leaves. I don't have that issue with my property, but anyhow.
So recycling, that's not costing us money anymore, is it?
So we are subsidized. We get monthly payments, but the new we are coming out of the transition period. So starting January 1st, 2026, we will not be able to start non-eligible. So a report will be coming to council at that point, determine what we need to do. So garbage from this facility, businesses, parks, commercial, daycares, anything like that, cannot be commingled with the common collection system. Obviously, our transfer station doesn't have enough space for separate recycling bins, and our commercial population is so small that it doesn't even really warrant two separate bins, so we're having to come up with a solution. And I did ask Circular Materials if we could commingle with the common collection system, and they said no. How would they know? I'm unsure, but we're going to have to come up with a solution for that this year as well.
There was a really large article in the Toronto Star this week covering pretty much all those issues and was quite critical, in my opinion. I've seen them all, but I mean also other parties as well. I'm sure it'll show up in my history online. If you're interested, I can send you a copy because
sure.
It was quite informative, at least for me anyhow. So.
They have quarterly meetings that they do, and all municipalities are echoing the same thing. They don't want the non-eligibles not to be accepted because it's creating huge problems for everywhere in the province.
Actually, there's a resolution in this council package from FONOM dealing exactly with that issue. Expanded producer responsibility to the ICI sector. So even FONOM is advocating to make that change.
Councillor Hanson.
It'd be interesting to know what like Barry and Aurelia did with all their brush, because I've seen some photos and it's just phenomenal. What had to be hauled somewhere, like where did all their brush go? I'm touching on the fact that I think our residents do like being able to take their brush to our transfer station. And so I'm just curious of where did all that debris go? Like in Barry, is there a way we could find out? Like, do they have like a landfill it all went to? And
did they not have a chipper?
Yes.
They do have larger receiving facilities than a smaller township like us. Like they have multiple sites, and
right.
Also their upper and lower, well, not City of Barrie and City of Aurelia, but like Simcoe County is the upper tier that looks after waste management. So it's kind of a whole different ballgame with them, and I assume that your brush would be able to be taken to their multiple sites, and then they would have a chipper come in, and I assume that's how the volume would be dealt with.
Right, because, you know, somewhere down the way, I hope it doesn't happen like what happened to them, where all of a sudden people, every property owner has monstering amounts of brush they got to get rid of, kind of thing, and they'd probably be trying to give it to us. So that's almost another reason to try to expand into that other site, to, even if it is just for a case of an emergency of brush, which then we have a chipper come in and it chip it all up. But I think we should, something to keep in our back of our mind that we should be prepared for.
I spent 3 days in April at a friend's cottage in just east of Aurelia, and basically cutting up all the down trees that he had, which was just huge piles of them. And he told me this week that they came around with a chipper, the township did, or the town did, whichever it is, and chipped them. And arguably, where we piled all the brush, he wanted to chip that into his forest, which is right there. It's just ground cover, because his grandkids play in there and everything else. But they wouldn't do that. They would only haul it away, which is okay from a point of view. But it's interesting, because you would think in that situation, they'd be saying, sure, right, less things for them to haul. But anyway, that was the answer he got anyhow. So, but yeah, he had 3 days with two adults, and just a pile like the size of this room, seriously. And the lot isn't that big,
Looking at the bridge and culvert study, I'm wondering if maybe this passes on to Public Works Superintendent if he's looked into the culverts up in Keller Lake Road and Rainsway, because we're on there, those large culverts, and I notice they're not in the RFP, so I'm just wondering if that's been investigated.
We did make a note of that to let Tom know. My assumption is that there's a range or a threshold as to when the culvert needs to be included in those reports, but I'm just unsure of that threshold, but we will contact Tom and
right.
make sure.
Because I know when it was actually I was there when they were doing the Keller Lake Road one, and those are huge culverts.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't fit into a main structure in your township, I don't know what does, but you're right, I know their sizes. And the other one mentioned that their summer students, the Balsam Trail, I mentioned this before, when the contractor got, he said it should be rejuvenated in a sense or looked after every year. And I don't think it has been, but I'm just wondering what shape it's in and what they plan on doing to go in there. Were there any fallen trees? I don't know. We don't hear from the public too much, so I guess maybe bear season is over as far as it still comes around, so people don't venture back, maybe. But I'm wondering if that could be looked at in a little more detail. And what I'd like to see, too, and I know there were problems with it when you get right into the end where the stile is and you start into the field. For a couple of years, we actually had that the grass cut out through the roadway, out to the fence, so people could access all the way through there and then come out onto the road. There was a mix-up years back because they thought there was going to be a parking lot there, and MTO said no to that. But the actual trail, and it's surveyed, it's legally open out to the highway. And I'm just wondering why that can't be extended, because now people get in so far, they have to turn around and go back to the same trail, which is fine. Maybe they enjoy that too. But I'm just wondering if it could be investigated again why that trail through the field hasn't been kept cut. So that, and there are actual, what did they call them at the time, those planks that you walked on, they had a name for them. They're throughout that field where the swampy areas are. And so it's all prepared for that. It's just it hasn't been done for a number of years.
They're probably.
They might be underwater now. Completely calm. But again, that's why it should be investigated.
Yeah.
I think the trail itself and kept
it's
up.
It's a swampy area.
It's the only trail we have, really. So
I think that's a good idea if they check it out for safety aspects as well, because I know any boards, including pressure treated, after a few years, they get this algae on them. They get the slippers and the banana peel.
Yeah.
So just to ensure that those are safe to walk on.
Yeah, because there are a few, at least two bridges in there that have to cross. So I just want to make sure that when they go out and help with the balls material, they have some instruction on what they're looking for, and maybe some maintenance, what they'll do with it. Councilor Keckner?
So just another topic, cold patching. Are they still doing cold patching on the roads? Center Road from Kirkville Road to Bees Road had quite a few potholes, and that road is generally in really, really good shape. And Herville Road didn't see, but it seemed like it had any cold patching the last time that I went on it, so just wondering if they're still keeping up with cold patch maintenance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, some new brutal holes formed on Herville Road. I mean, devastating.
Yeah.
Alas.
And then that's the catch point. So, like, you know it's going to be reconstructed.
Yeah.
But how long, and what would the cost be to fill in some of those holes? Like you say, they're huge. And why couldn't they patch those? It looks like money wasted, but really it isn't. Because we're not sure the tender is going to go out sometime shortly, I hope. And then, but they won't be doing any construction until midsummer anyway. So in the meantime, yeah, those are big holes. They should be filled in. And there have, as you say, there seem to be more and more as you get closer to Herdville there too. So.
What I've noticed is a bunch of the what I presume are pilot holes for the reconstruction, which the township folks did and filled in reliably when I finished, but they end up being dead center of the road. So when you're trying to avoid the potholes that are more on the right, that basically there's nowhere left to drive, right? Because if I go a little bit more to the left, I'm hitting the pilot holes they've dug. If I go a little bit more to the right, I'm hitting all the potholes that are there. I actually got home from one and was fretting about it myself and got a call from a resident that's on that section complaining about the very same thing. And I know it just adds more fuel to the fire, more difficulty to manage, but I mean, I think we've got to do something, because you can't just say, well, you can't drive anywhere on this section of the road because there's big giant holes, right? And again, I know we're going to fix it, but if you got to drive on it every day, and
yeah.
the fellow who called me does because he's working, it's not a very happy situation, so.
That's hiring a list then to Tom, then?
Yeah.
Start repairing those holes?
So they started a new technique because there was quite a few complaints about the cold patching, so they have the students helping as well. They put the cold patch on, they tamp it down, and they put a layer of sand so that the cold patch doesn't stick to the vehicles, and that's been working fairly well. So it is taking them a little longer to do the job, but people should be happy with the progress.
So hopefully it lasts longer too, so that's the trade-off in my view. But yeah, there was several times where I almost came to a stop and looked and go, well, which way am I going? Right?
Who's going to put the signs up on Hurdville Road fairly showing that there is going to be construction done? Is that going to be who gets the contract, or is that going to be the township?
So the township was putting up the signs notifying people of the closure of the bridge, but the construction company is putting up the signage for around the bridge, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And there will be detour signs as well, and the sign will say full closure, Hurdville Bridge, follow detour routes, and there will be orange signage.
Yeah, I'm asking more of, say, whatever, 3 or 4 kilometers that we're going to reconstruct a Hurdville Road.
But I'm
just to get the word out there that, you know, to try to be patient, we are going to construct it, so on whose responsibility, you know, you put up a project or a road going to be under construction at a certain time kind of thing, that will that be the township? Or?
That project will be at the responsibility of the contractor.
Oh, yeah, so we can't. But as soon as we get a contractor, I think we should request that signs go up as soon as possible. Just everybody will see, okay, really, they're going to reconstruct this road, because it's, I'm getting so tired of the people like asking me, but what are you going to do about Hurdville Road, you know, kind of thing. So if there was a sign there at each end saying, construction this year, well, then that would save them.
Or feel free to forward them to me, and I can let them know what the capital projects are for this year.
Yeah, well, I tell them it's going to be done this year, you know, kind of thing, so it satisfies them. I'm just thinking signage would make it so they wouldn't have, they know automatically, because out of the ones that do contact you, there's probably a couple hundred more that would love to contact and ream you out, but they're just not that kind of people. Yeah, so.
They'd
be nice to inform.
Well, the problem you have with the timing of all this, you say it's going to be done. Yes, that's certainly our intention. If the tenders come in at $6 million, then is it going to be done? So that's the problem you have, that you have to wait to see what they come in at. We've got an estimate of what it's going to cost, but until we know,
it's
hard. Councilor Ryan?
Yeah, just the same issue relative to Hurdville Bridge. We'd almost have to put signs out at the end of where Hurdville joins 124, which is, of course, the McDougal, because otherwise if you come down that road, you find out you can't go anywhere. That's a bit of a problem.
Well, Carney's covered that already. That was in our list earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds
that's
covered good.
And yeah, I think they've hit most of the angles where you might be impacted by the closure of the bridge. Anything else from the Public Works report?
I just have a question, but it's not on this report.
Oh,
is there anything being done with the pigeons? Just not.
Thank you.
So, call the question. Do you remember the resolution? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
We covered a lot in that conversation.
This one will be just as long, will it? At resolution 25-224, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the roadside grass cutting memo from Mary Smith, Deputy Clerk, for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Kekin?
So it mentions that after after careful consideration and investigation by township staff of the current operational cost for road grass cutting, it is more cost effective for township to award the road grass cutting contract. So is there a financial analysis that we can review regarding how this was carefully analyzed and the costs?
If council wishes, that Tom and I can put that together, yes.
That'd be great, thank you.
Just a question.
Councilor Zula?
Regarding that, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying that this here price is more affordable, like to do, are you saying that if we
between
do it,
maintenance
if we do
of the
our own?
Yes.
If our own people would cost us more?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that price. That sounds quite reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
If
and
they
that's
do a good
why
job.
We just put it out as an expression of interest to see if it was a more cost effective way to go. And after going through the maintenance on the tractor and to pay the staff, and this also opens up the staff to do other projects. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the, well, it's sort of tied into this too with the brush cutting along the roads too. There were complaints here with the company that left a bit of a mess. So that's obviously being reviewed by Tom so that it's not going to happen again. And the roadside grass cutting, I would assume it's the same company that they'll have instructions from Tom to what's expected. The one thing that comes to mind is the milkweed that comes up regularly. And before there was a lifting of the blade. I'm not sure what instructions TMI has, but I guess Tom's looking after that for the public.
Yes, what does council want to see? Do you want to see the milkweed cut or leave?
Good question.
Yeah,
that might be a good question.
It seems crazy to be going along. I know in front of my place that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take my mower out and go cut them.
I think the expression of interest did mention that there would be areas that would not be cut because of the milkweed.
I know some townships don't and some do, so I think it's ultimately up to council what service they would like to see.
I think it'd be interesting, you're talking about a report coming, and I'm not sure when this is done. It's one time a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the staff member who actually did the work the last couple of years, if it's the same one, maybe they changed, I don't know, if they have opinions on this as well. The difficulties, as you say, as they're going along and trying to do it within a certain period of time for a certain amount of money, does that deter at all from what they're trying to achieve by having to lift the blade and go around certain objects or certain plants? So I think you say you and Tom would look at, maybe ask the people who actually did the job too.
Okay.
And just see what they would recommend, having experienced it themselves. Anything else from this report? Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-225 of Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the report FD-2025-07, the month-end status updates for April 2025 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
So it mentions the catastrophic failure of this is an older console. This is a dispatch transmission console. So this will be shared, cost shared, being divided among evenly among the participants, so the neighboring municipalities.
Correct.
Have they received an estimated amount, and is it covered in our current budget?
Sequin was the township or the municipality responsible for doing the RFP. I'm not sure of the results of that. I don't think we've seen the financials yet. But Rob did budget it in this budget, knowing that it was coming for this year. It just happened that the catastrophic catastrophic failure happen close to when the tender was released. Obviously, they weren't expecting it to fail, but it did. But this has been planned because they knew it was on its way out.
Okay. Thank you. And then, so the RFP for the construction of the tower, so the site that was mentioned at the entrance of Lees Road, is that the selected site?
So we put it out as a request for proposal, so proponents looking to bid on the job, if they don't see that site as being preferable for the solution, for the needs of the township, they can, you know, put forward a different site if required. Those submitting proposals will be visiting the site to determine if it is adequate, and they will need to look at a variety of factors to determine that.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. And then, so it's for the month end status, it has 7 medical calls, 2 fire calls, 1 assistance call, and then there's a pie chart with that it lists the different types of fire calls, so structural, vehicle, or other fires. So it breaks it down. So that's incident reports for 2025. I wonder if you can be more specific about the fire calls, if it's vehicle, structure, or other fires.
Maybe a little larger print would be useful.
Yeah.
The good news is on my computer I can actually enhance it so I can read it, because before that I couldn't.
And he mentions at the bottom of that, the first page there too, the crew is anxiously awaiting the delivery of the new mini pumper. Do you have any history on that?
So I have an update. It has arrived. They're doing truck checks tonight, and the vehicle will be put in service tonight. I'm blanking on the radio company. Telequip is coming today to program the radio that was in there, so it will be in service tomorrow or tonight at midnight. They're over there doing it now. It did arrive last week, and the vendor was here demonstrating it to the captains, and it did have a failure of the pump. Can I remember what that failure was? Not right now, but it's something to do. It went to Ford and Bracebridge. It got repaired on Dependable's dime and came back here. So now we're good to go.
Yeah, we just hope that it doesn't fail again once the warranty's off or something. But
There were firefighters that came in yesterday to stop the truck and make sure that it is to be in service for tomorrow. And they were at the Broadbent ballpark yesterday, and they were pumping it, and they had the pump going for 2 hours without fail, so they're fairly confident that the problem's been fixed.
Yeah, there's something brand new. There's always, you know, there's a couple of things that will always need to be done. You know, that's, that's exciting. I look forward to seeing the fireworks in Broadbent.
Anything else on the report? Call the question, then. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-226, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the account payable preliminary check run report for April 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Discussion. Councilor Kekin.
So this is page 3 with the marker. Fire Protection Services, our share of the ID card printer.
So Sequin purchased a ID card printer for all the municipalities to use, and there's a shared cost to that, so it's so that the firefighters have ID cards, and we've also recently used it to produce an ID card for our bylaw enforcement officer.
Great, thank you. Talking about bylaw enforcement officer, are we going to start receiving monthly bylaw enforcement reports?
Yes.
And as detailed as the ones that Chris Everett was providing at the end of his service as bylaw enforcement officer?
Yes, some information will be needing to be redacted to the public just because it's private, but those reports will be coming soon.
Okay, thank you.
It's a bit of an aside on page
coming June 3rd. I'll have to double check, but we did send them a deputation form and they are coming.
Excellent. So public can be brought up to date on their assessments dating back to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're going to work on that and bring it more up to date, I guess. But
some
people will
bring
like
all
that
their books.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, it is June 3rd.
Okay, great, thanks. Councilor Peckin?
So page 9 with the marker. So general government and professional services, legal, Landris Street, etc. OPP record, Solgen. So what's going on with the OPP record, Solgen? Oh, so that's police record checks, or?
Yes, so that's... new hires to the municipality that we've had to do record checks on.
Okay. And is there any update on the CEO staff members, CEO area CEOs meeting and discussing the appointments, the community representative appointments?
Yes, so we're currently waiting on Henby Inlet to appoint their representative to the selection committee. So once that has been completed, then we will be scheduling the meeting to do the selection.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Ryan?
On page 11, I mean, at the top of it, I see there's the bylaw enforcement officer services in here. To my knowledge, we haven't received any reports, any monthly or otherwise reports from another member, like, but... are we expecting them or expecting her to give us one?
Yes, she has been providing me with activity reports accompanying her invoices so that I know what she's been doing. She's just been kind of getting her feet wet with the position, attending calls. She is looking at bylaws, specifically the parking bylaw. She's doing research on fines. So she's just warming up to the position, and now we're getting her going to come to council.
I'm not trying to push it too far. I just want to make sure that there's still an expectation that she would give us one.
Yes, and she has been submitting them to the municipality, and I've been filing them.
Okay.
So I can send them out to council if you're wanting to see the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody expects perfection either, certainly not me, but just some information, right? So.
Well, because we're paying for hours that she's booking in, taking courses, and I think it's important to get a bit of a sense of what we're actually paying for.
And I still think if she goes back and look at the last reports that Chris produced, the last probably 5 or 6 of them, I think were really quite good and detailed and lots of useful information. So I think that we would benefit from knowing what that is. So.
Okay, on page 12 at the top, it's referencing the Good Roads Conference, I assume. We don't have a report yet from that conference. Are we going to get one? Considering looking at the different checks that I'd signed, I think it's close to $2,000. Now, I know the vehicle was used, the township vehicle, so that saves some money there, I guess, in a sense. I don't know. but I'm thinking all these conferences that people attend, and other ones that Mary went to one, and you've been to one, Scotty, and we get a report back on what was learned at the conference. So I'm just wondering if we're going to get one of those from.
I can let him know.
Okay, thanks.
How many days was it? Do you recall, Carly?
3.
And the hotel, was that much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very expensive.
Did he stay right there?
At
the Royal York? Is that where they held it?
Yes, it is at the Royal York, and I believe I got him a room there, because even hotels around the Royal York were full.
Hmm.
And that would include parking and taxes and gratuity and...
Any other comments from the check run report? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. 25-227, moved by Councilor Tekkinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas the McKellar Agricultural Society is celebrating its 150th McKellar Fall Fair this September, and to honor this incredible feat, the board has decided to include some events from past years. And whereas one of these planned events will be to hold a parade on the fairgrounds, it will be open to all ages, with the theme of farm/fair days, and will be targeted mainly towards youth and family entries. And whereas the McKellar Agricultural Society is seeking sponsorship of this event from the Township of McKellar in a total prize money amount of $400, which will be divided among various winners in each category. And whereas should the Township of McKellar agree to sponsor the event, the Agricultural Society would also like three members of council to attend the fair and judge the parade entries. Now therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby sponsor the Agricultural Society's parade event for the requested amount of $400 to be distributed amongst the various winners in each category. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar appoint three council members to attend the 150th McKellar Fall Fair and judge the parade entries. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
I think it's great. I think it's great. The last time we had the parade, and it was on the, I know you handled it, and it was a lot of aggravation with the OPP and everything, but I think having it here on the grounds and just having a parade is wonderful.
I gotta agree, you know, that's the first time I've seen Elvis in a long time, so.
Probably the last time.
So I guess what we're looking forward to is through councilors to help judge the events, be available that day. Anyway, that could change between now and then, of course,
yeah.
It's September, right? So.
I'm sure there'd be three councilors there that day. So,
yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. So. I guess we can let them know there'll be three counselors that just don't know who they are at this
right.
point.
See who's still standing. Yeah. And the $400 is fine.
Yes.
Good with me.
Mm-hmm. We have in the budget the discretionary donations, so I think there's still funds available in one of those donation categories.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Into 19.2. Resolution 25-228, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a request for speaker installation on a hydro pole in Minerva Park from Market Manager Jan Gibson. And further, that the addition of the speaker would allow music and announcements to be heard by all market attendees, enhancing the overall experience for visitors and vendors alike. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar approves of the installation of a speaker on a hydro pole in Minerva Park, so long as the cost is within the McKellar market budget, and that the Public Works Superintendent approves the location. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So if this is passed, the Public Works, they would put the speaker up, I would assume?
I haven't been part of earlier discussion, so.
I wasn't sure to the logistics of it. I did ask Jan to write a report to Council for the request, and unfortunately she wasn't able to be here tonight to speak to it. But if approved, I assume we would look at a few different options and figure out cost-wise what's more economical. The only concern I have is that this may contravene our noise bylaw. So for the speaker to be in the park, we would have to file a noise exemption. And Jan did mention that the speaker could be used for other events other than the market, so like for the Remembrance Day ceremony as well, so we would just have to make sure it captures all the events that could be taking place in Minerva Park that would be using the speaker.
Well, that would be good. Then you might not have the problems with for the Remembrance Day.
Well, I can't
would it?
Promise that.
Yeah.
But technology's technology, and with a speaker being out in the elements all the time, like I'm unsure as to that as well, if
yeah.
it would have to be underneath
cover?
The cover or something, but it's something that we would have to further investigate, and hopefully our IT professionals will be able to help us out as well.
Yeah.
So would we be agreeing that
may be a good idea, just because we're not sure right now of all the requirements to have a speaker there, but council could ask Near North Business Machine to put together something that had a couple of options.
And while we're talking about this, there's a picture of the pavilion. It just came to mind that there was a rental of a pressure washer for the pavilion in the check run report.
That must be for here.
Oh.
Yes, it was for the arena.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting because it's enhancing the overall experience for visitors and vendors alike. Maybe not neighbors, but we'll see where that goes. No, as you say, logistics, I think, has to be worked out. And so maybe, as Councillor Cuckman said, we could write in there as a friendly amendment approves of the installation in principle.
But, you know, it's only for a few hours.
But I think we've heard that the suggestion is that it could be used for other things,
yeah,
too. So.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, the park. They have it those few couple of months for a few hours one day a week.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
not disagreeing.
I'm just, no, I know. I'm
just close neighbors sometimes.
Yeah.
That,
is this a speaker in somebody's budget?
No, so I would have to determine cost with the options that Near North Business Machine would put forward, and then we would have to determine where in the budget that would come from.
I'm interested too in the actual location on that pole.
Right.
Who owns the pole? We had electricity there before, and then it was removed when, right after the park was purchased, and then it was reinstated. Does Hydro have any say in the use of that pole?
That's also another question.
So in principle, sounds good. So that was just a friendly amendment. Tom McKellar approves in principle. Any further discussion?
Should it say as well, based on a future report, like in principle, pending a
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, it may just work that you know, I think Mary was going to talk to her, get a more detailed report. So if you want to put her in the resolution, we can.
Report an investigation, right? You're saying about investigating the cost and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll take this and provide it to Near North Business Machine and say, what solutions can you have and what are the costs? So I think it's just assumed.
I'm not against this at all. It's just, you know,
you
approve something,
sure.
But you want to make sure what you're approving. So.
Okay, any further discussion? Call a question on the amended resolution. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 19.3, a resolution 25-229, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas every childhood development plays a considerable role in shaping young minds through physical development as well as cognitive, social, and emotional development. Whereas the Perry Sound Public School has hundreds of students who rely on it, not just for education, but also for opportunities and growth, including students from the Township of McKellar. And whereas the Perry Sound Public School is hosting the first ever Spring Fling Carnival on May the 29th, 2025, to help raise funds for the expansion of the ELK yard for the growing number of kids to add play equipment. And whereas the presence of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar would inspire others to act now, get these kids what they deserve. Now, therefore, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar direct staff to notify Paige Bush, Perry Sound Parent Council, of the attendance of a member of council at the Spring Fling to help represent and advocate for the kids in our community. Discussion?
$400,000, they're probably getting like three swings on a slide.
Yeah, I have no idea. And this came through an email that I passed.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a fair request. It's just what we went through in our last meeting, and probably not a lot of equipment. So
since our last meeting, I looked up different opportunities for funding for playground equipment, and I did come across actually that next day, the town of Perry Sound advertised that they had received NOHFC funding for, can't remember how many hundreds of thousands,
yeah.
And the week before, Calendar was advertising that they had received NOHFC funding, and when we go there for the DPSMA meeting, you can check out this, they might even mention that this is, check out our new swing sets that we're, or playground equipment that we received. I think it was close to $1 million that they received. It was a lot of money. And then there's other entities that are providing funding for playground equipment as well. We found about six different funding opportunities.
So can we look into that opportunity?
Yeah, Councillor Kekkonen forwarded us the information.
Okay.
It does take a lot of staff time to go through, and then it's kind of disappointing when you collect all the data and put the grant forward and don't receive it, but at the same point, if we're not trying, then we're not receiving the money either, so we'll look into it.
Now the question we have with this one, of course, this is in Perry Sound Public School, and we're not really aware, not nor should we know necessarily, it mentions that there are students from the township of McKellar taking the French immersion, I think is what it says in the letter. I don't know how many. And what we have to consider is, you know, for the students that are going there, and we're trying to get playground equipment for broadband as well. So, and they want somebody from council to represent and be at the Spring Fling, but I'm almost thinking that it's a fundraiser, so they're going to be looking for money as well as attendance, even though I think they've assured us that just being there would be support. So that's the question we have. Do we want to donate to something like this as well? Trying to get our own funds.
Maybe when the counselor attends, like maybe Nick, do you want to go?
I was just looking up in my calendar, and I do have an event that day. I mean, it's at 7 p.m., but I mean, I assume
this
would
be 5 to 7, I think.
Yeah. So, yes, it would. I mean, my two local grad kids did go in previous years to Perry Sound Public. And my memory at the time was I think there was seven kids that got off the bus at the school, but as to some of them might be, well, some of them were from McKellar, my grandkids included, but I mean it might only be two or three, or I mean, it could be zero, right? But yeah, I would be happy to go providing
this moral support.
Yeah, but
cheering
I mean,
them on.
Except they're saying from 5 till 7, and I have a meeting at 7, so that's
well, that's ideal.
Perfect.
Any meetings in Perry Sound?
No.
Oh.
It's not. It's here in this room, as a matter of fact. But anyhow, so.
Well, you could even show up for an hour. An hour
yeah.
5 till 6.
Yeah. I could find a way, I'm sure, to do something and signify that. But having said that, my grandkids, they weren't my kids. I loved the playground because it was just running around and some hills and things. They liked it in the winter. So, but would they enjoy, you know, playground equipment? For sure. But.
Okay, so that's all. We don't need a name necessarily, but it's all on record now that Councillor Ryan's going. So
sure.
I guess they could be notified.
And the principal at the time was a McKellar resident anyhow, so I met her several times at school for not the greatest of reasons, but...
Confession time. Yeah.
She was a lovely lady, I'll say that. So,
any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.1, resolution 25-230, moved by Councillor Haskam, seconded by Councillor Zidlak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve a $1,500 scholarship to be divided equally to graduating Township of McKellar High School students who will be attending a post-secondary institution in 2025. Discussion? I think, Karen, you've got a little more information.
The school did send a letter. I admittedly misplaced it because I just had a scanned copy and couldn't find it, but I can say that there's 5 McKellar students graduating from high school this year, unable to give their names, but just so council knows, there are 5, and you know, it's a big year, big graduating year, I guess.
Is the expectation that these are students that are going on to post-secondary education?
That is correct, because there is actually more than 5 students graduating, but these 5 are only eligible, being that they're going to post-secondary
education. I'm curious, I read a very lengthy article this week, too, about the federal government trying to encourage kids to go into trades instead of necessarily going to university, college, whatever you want me to say. And I wonder if we had ever considered that, because, I mean, according to Mark Carney, to the best of my knowledge, this is a big hole that we have, is that we aren't training or bringing up kids into trades, and we have a desperate need for it. So I'm curious, I don't know the background on this, or that I know that this has come up in previous council meetings, but I wonder if we shouldn't include, and I don't know the details of it or whatever, but maybe we should include kids that are going on to trades too, or at least enrolled in a trade school or an apprenticeship or something like that. Because it seems to me, and my experience with my own kids, and I do mean kids, not grandkids, was that they felt that wasn't a good path for them to follow. And frankly, in hindsight, that was just dead wrong. But anyhow.
Well, it does say post-secondary, so that
yeah.
could include
okay.
trade school,
yeah. okay.
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as we ask the school, I mean, or specifically say of kids that are moving into, I don't know if trade school is the right verbiage either, but you know, if we can figure that out, because I don't want to exclude those kids.
No, I can confirm that no students would be excluded.
Okay.
Councilor Peckin, did you have a question?
But this is allocated every year. 1,500 is in our budget for this post-secondary scholarship.
And there was a question too that I had asked about the actual program. I don't know whether they even still provide a program at the graduation. They used to. They used to have different scholarships and the name of the recipient and the name of the donor, the sponsor. So I'm still not sure if that's produced, but if it is, it'd be nice that we were included in that. We never seem to get any feedback on that. And I know at one point, council, I guess one year, had them come in and accept the check right here at a council meeting. I'm not saying we have to go that far. But I'd like to see it in the brochure that they put out if they still produce one.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor Peck?
I think in the past there was a member of council that would attend the graduation ceremonies and hand out the scholarship amounts to these
That's a possibility
individuals.
Is council interested in that? Because I can ask the school if that's still an option.
Yeah, either that or come here or something like that. It's just so there is an acknowledgement that the township is
true.
Giving something.
Good suggestion. We've got a picture and put it in the paper. Right, put it in Paris House.
Do we have a reserve for that at all?
No, I just believe it's part of the operating budget every year.
Okay.
There was like a 1,500 dedicated specifically for the scholarships in the budget?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I think we do every year. It's just I'm wondering what, but I guess if it doesn't get used, it just goes back into general.
Yeah.
Where I, for those rich years, like this year, having 5 students, well, the amount they're receiving each is not $500, it's a fair bit less, where if so this year we won't have a reserve left over, but say if the next year there's only one, say, like...
Well, doesn't it go to that one person?
No. Okay. Well, I think there's a maximum of 500.
Is it? I thought it was split.
There's a policy written somewhere because we did discuss these different scenarios, so...
Yeah, so I thought it was 500 maximum per student. So if there was only one, well, then there's 1,000. Where I like... set that 1,000 into reserve, and then for a year you have 5, well then they would still receive closer to the max amount.
And we did discuss that as well. It was written into a policy, I believe. So.
Yeah, you can check it out, Carol, and maybe something we could start. If.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Unfinished business as of May the 20th. Any comments there? Additions, subtractions?
Road construction could be changed to 3 point something or other.
I just noticed that. I'll change that.
Okay. Okay, so those taxpayers happen to see that and say, well, that Councillor Haskin, he's smoking mirrors again.
Any new business? Councillor Kagan?
So, ask for an update regarding the CEOs and the discussion about the public appointment to the OPP detachment board. So in the past, I don't know how many times, but we received the draft minutes for the CAO meetings. I'm wondering, are they still keeping the minutes?
No.
Okay.
And I guess there's no reason to ask why.
Do you want me to update you on the last meeting we had?
Sure.
So it was held, I can't remember the date, it was at the C1 airport. The CAOs met and had a tour of the airport, and then we discussed a few items on the agenda. So one was bylaw enforcement, and the other being the police service boards. Those were the two main agenda items, and I think there was just some open discussion about other things, but I can't remember them at the moment.
So they're not keeping minutes? Would they keep minutes in the future, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if they keep minutes in the future, can we receive the minutes?
Yes. Was that previous practice? Like, the meetings did have minutes circulated to the municipalities?
I don't know exactly. This we received this, so I didn't look to see if I had other folders, but I just somehow this was tucked into my monthly planner book, and then I thought, I just sort of came to mind. It's, why aren't we still receiving the CAO meeting minutes?
Yeah, I'm unsure.
Okay.
Clayton Harris chairs the meeting, so that may be a question for him.
Well, I think it's important with these meetings because more and more we saw this happening. The CAOs are meeting and actually becoming a steering committee in many cases. The pool comes to mind, and there were no reports, and yet decisions were passed on to the board. And I'm not saying in every case the board rubber stamped them, but there weren't many changes from what the steering committee had recommended in the actual resolution. So I think there is a concern when the CAOs meet. If they're discussing the pool, I don't think you should be attending. And if they're discussing the West Perry Sound Development Collaborative, we left that group. I don't think so. I think you probably get an agenda before you go. If not, I'd be a little leery when you actually get there. If they start discussing some of these topics that don't affect the township of McKellar and its residents, then I guess the question is, should you be participating when those topics come up? I don't know how you deal with it at a CAO gathering, but do you declare conflict or?
I do receive the agenda prior to, and I've only attended two meetings so far, and none have been with regard to the Westbury Sound Cultural Center. And in the event they were, I would excuse myself from the room, and then once they were complete discussions, I would re-enter.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think that's important.
Okay, thank you.
Any other new business? On to public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committee, if you've attended. Council Zulak, looks like she's...
Oh, I have an inquiry.
Oh, okay.
I'm just curious as to if there is a possibility that the mayor should have a key or the codes to get into the main office when the building is closed, because I know different things, the windows have been open, and he lives close. He could go in, he could close them, or like there was something else where a key, somebody locked themselves out and they needed the key that was inside, and I just think it would be good, and anyways, he's the mayor, he should have access.
Yep, I apologize, that wasn't done. If Mayor Moore wants to stay after the meeting, Mayor and I can provide him with keys tonight.
Yeah. Good?
Well, I don't know whether good or not, but
I do check in
the building fairly often, and that is a concern. I don't like to bother the staff if it's something that can be fixed, very quickly and closely. But I don't know. The key key that was provided, I haven't even tried it in the different doors. I just have the keys that everybody else has. I have a single key. I don't know if that opens all the doors or not. It probably doesn't. So that was provided to me, but I'm not sure what opens and what doesn't.
I know, cause when I come to get my package, there was a lady out here using the Wi-Fi, and she had said to me, oh, do you work here? Because one of the windows is open, and it was raining quite heavily. So you don't want to call somebody to come in and do that. If David is close and he's available, he could just whip over and do it. That's all I'm thinking.
And after the garbage pails and things?
That's the last week.
Yeah. The vacuum. Take the vacuum.
Any other committee reports? No? Not the consent agenda? Resolution 25-231.
Consent agenda?
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Resolution 25-231, moved by Councilor Peckham, second by Councilor Ryan. The incorporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? Councilor Zua.
25.3. I just wanted to say that we had sent something to Whitestone, and I'm sure glad to see that they are supporting the township's post office.
Yeah, that was a fantastic letter of endorsement and support.
As long as nothing happens this Friday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and then I get a little worried again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the strike coming, and I guess it's already back on the table about shutting down post offices as an option.
Yeah, the actual mail delivery at home, and that's on there too.
Yeah.
So. Not that we've experienced it here, but Councilor Carr.
I just want to mention that the Friends newsletter, Spring Summer 2025, is jam packed with great information and resources for citizens in our municipality and those who may need resources in the future. I was really impressed and amazed at all the amazing stuff that the Friends are doing and the resources they provide. And as well, 25.7, the FONOM annual general meeting, the resolutions, seeing that FONOM is advocating for some pretty important issues that that relate to our municipality, including the policing costs for all communities. We did receive a one-time provincial support transfer because some of the expenses, OPP annual increases, were about 17.8%, but that was a one-time offset. So what's the calls for service billing report going to look like this November? So at least FONOM is being proactive and advocating with that in mind.
Yeah, I think with FONOM, it always concerned me, I guess, if they're a branch of AMO. And I guess they have to be, but you see some of the same people. And hopefully, AMO supports whatever FONOM does as well. That all comes out of one big pot, I think. So that's the concern I have. That hopefully, AMO is broad enough that it covers AMO and the different organizations, the different branches.
And as well, they had another resolution, provincial municipal fiscal review. Whereas current provincial municipal fiscal arrangements are undermining Ontario's economic prosperity and quality of life, whereas nearly a third of municipal spending in Ontario is for services in areas of provincial responsibility, and expenditures are outpacing provincial contributions by nearly $4 billion a year. So $4 billion of municipal funding isn't going to the needs of the municipality. It's helping to cover costs that the province is responsible for. Anyway, just wanted to bring those to attention.
Any further discussion of the consent agenda? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Open now to questions or comments from the public in person and online related to items on the agenda. large is hereby give bylaw number 2025-28. The bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council the first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed at open council this 20th day of May 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-233, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Cuckin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9 p.m.
to meet again on June the 3rd, 2025, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the